We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptize shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I know my Jesus. Jesus never did anything out of order. God never does anything out of time. Nothing. You show me in this Bible, go ahead, dig it out, where God did something out of time, where God screwed up. You won't find it. God don't screw up. We do. So, read that again. First it says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And, notice that? That little and in there? And these signs. What does that tell you? Do you wonder why signs and wonders don't accompany your life? Do you preach the gospel? Do you proclaim it? Do you herald it? Do you speak it? Do you discuss it? You can't expect God to give you the power to drink poison and survive. You can't expect God to give you the power to take up a serpent and live. You can't expect God to let you lay hands on somebody and they're healed like that if you won't even speak Jesus' name to someone else. Right. Jesus said twice, He said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. But then he went further. He says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the angels. Now, I don't know about you, but there's only two groups in heaven that I know of right now, and that's Jesus, and he was speaking, and then the Father and the angels. So in my mind, Jesus basically said, if you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you before all of heaven. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. But think about it. I'm giving you some meat to just think on tonight, because I honestly believe that if we're afraid to preach the gospel, if we're afraid to tell our friends and neighbors about Jesus, one, we can't expect revival. Two, we can't expect signs and wonders. Because signs and wonders are not just there for you. Signs and wonders are there for the outsiders. You know, God gives healings to bring us along. But signs and wonders are for them to believe. Mary and I prayed over a woman in Pinedale who had a stroke at the age of 30. She's now 50, and she was scheduled to go into the hospital to have a complete heart check. She was scheduled because they knew her heart was damaged, and she was going to have probably a pacemaker. She came in to us and just asked if we'd pray for her. Well, the Spirit of God came upon Mary, and I just said, lay hands on her and claim a complete healing for my glory. She went up to the doctors in Jackson. They tested her, and guess what? She's never had a stress test because they can't find anything wrong with her heart. Now, she's a heathen. She's not saved. It didn't save her. But when we prayed that God would get the glory and honor. And even though she won't follow Jesus, she's out there preaching Jesus. Mm-hmm. She's out there telling people God healed her. She's out there telling people that the Lord cared enough about her that he healed her. God is getting the glory even though she's a heathen. Now, if you can have a heathen running around saying, praise God, he healed me, can't we do it? Can't we say it? Are we ashamed of our Jesus? I mean, it was a hard thing for me a few years ago. I wasn't quite as strong as I am, so I understand. But I got fired because I used to send out morning reports with a Bible scripture at the bottom, telling people to have a great day and quoting the Bible scripture. And I was told that I wasn't supposed to do that. Proselyzing was not right. So you know me, guys. I'm a little feisty. I went down to Hastings and bought a book with 1,000 quotes. And guess what? It quoted the Bible. So every morning, there was a Bible verse. But then it said, from such and such book. Well, they didn't like that. Mary and I got run off because of it. But 2 years later, we owned our own business, our own consulting business, and we weren't working for that company. See, if you preach Jesus, he'll take care of you. You know, it's like us right now. As man sees it, our business is going down the tubes. As man sees it, we're running out of reserves. As God sees it, there's a glorious horizon out there that I can't see over. And I know it'll be there. It's like I told my wife yesterday. I said, God may make me step through a door and fall 10 stories. But I guarantee when I get to the floor, he's going to catch me before I get hurt. That's what we have to tell people. Do you believe it? Do you believe that your Jesus loves you so much that he won't let you go down too far? Because that's what the Word says. Word says here, I won't let you be burdened or tried beyond what you can handle. And then he says the promise, I'll even give you a way out. You know, you have the way out right now. The way out is Jesus. But we stop ourselves because we won't go forward and speak Jesus. We stop the blessing. We stop the miracle. I mean, I know that when my kids are mad at me and are pouting and talking, won't talk to me, I don't want to bless them. When my kids won't even talk to me, they call up and, is Mom there? Here, take the phone. And they need something. I just tell her, well, they won't talk to me. I'm not going to give it to them. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You been there? Your kids get that way. You know, it's just, oh, I need a little bit more money. I need a little bit more money. I need a little bit more money. And then you ask them, like a friend of ours did, for $25, and they turned around and wouldn't give them to us. You know that at that moment, you just don't want to help them, do you? Do you? No. Now, can you imagine God really wanting to overly abundant put those gifts upon you if we won't even preach his word? Think about it. Because I honestly believe that's part of the reason we don't have some of the things. Let's look in Luke chapter 9. This is how important this is. You know, we look at this and we think, man, Jesus was kind of crass there to this poor guy. Luke chapter 9. When we get there, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Chapter 9, verse 56. I'm still in chapter 8. I'm always late. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village, and it came to pass that as they went in that way, a certain man said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow thou wherever you go. We've heard that one before, haven't we? And Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no way to know where to lay his head. Now, why did he say that? He knew that as soon as he told this guy, you're not going to have anything, he walked away. Because now we go, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now I thought that was pretty crass. I mean, just let the dead bury their dead and let's go preach. But the dead are already gone. They're already past. There's nothing you and I can do to save them. And that's what Jesus was talking about there. Once that person is gone, if you haven't spoke Christ to them, it's over. We're not Catholics. We don't have a purgatory, and you can't be rich enough to pray somebody back out of there. They're dead. They don't know Jesus. They're in hell. That's it. Black and white. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they don't know Jesus. They're in hell. You didn't talk to them. The Bible says their blood shall be accounted on your head. Yes. Pastors, it's a lot worse. We've got four warnings in the Bible. Telling us you don't preach what I tell you to preach. Ooh, I mean, pastors are really under it. But you're under it too as a follower of Jesus. If Jesus brings you someone and you don't speak to them about the Lord, and that someone goes off, whether it's at work, whether it's in the church or somewhere else, and they die that day, you're the accountable person because you didn't take your vision and run with it and tell them about Jesus. You want a revival? You want this church so overflowing we're doing three or four services? Start holding on to your vision. Start preaching. You know, this was a man right here. And he said to another one, suffer me first, Lord, to bury my father. And Jesus said, go and bury the dead, and thou go and preach the kingdom of God. This isn't a pastor. This isn't a religious leader. This is a man that Jesus said, follow me to. Go preach. So we get stuck in this middle set, and I was that way for years. Before the Lord hit me over the head and said, hey, Jay, you know, why don't you become a pastor? And I'm like, huh? Say what, Lord? My first thought was, I had other things to do. Last thing I want to do is preach the Word. Guess what? First thing I want to do is preach the Word. I was telling Pastor Ybarra today, so when I don't preach, it's like there's this big, giant hole in my heart. I have to work for God. I have no choice. That's how much Jesus is a part of my life. Jesus isn't a game with me. He shouldn't be a game with you. Because the time is ending soon.
Amen.
You know, we could all hear the trumpet and look up, and that's it. In Timothy, in 2nd chapter of Timothy, or in 2nd Timothy, the 4th verse, in 2nd Timothy, the 4th chapter, I'll get that out yet. 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, verse 2. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy here is a young preacher, a young man that's under Paul's wing, and he's trying to teach him and learn. And what does he say? He says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with... Well, no wonder. Sorry, I'm in Hebrews. I was going to say, that is not my verse. These pages on this new Bible of mine are so thin. Okay, let's try where I want to be. Preach the Word. Sorry. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall leap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Do you know there's pastors out there right now that are preaching all kinds of heresy? There's one pastor, I can quote his almost exact words. But Jesus was a mealy-mouthed spirit in hell during those 3 days. Find that in the Bible. But there's itchy ears listening to that and saying that's the truth. There's one pastor, and this was the one that almost made me vomit, who preached that Jesus was homosexually raped by the Roman guards so he could feel every sin that we would. That pastor is nationwide known, and people believe it. That's the itchy ears we're starting to see. You know, even when I was a babe in Christ, I couldn't conceive of that kind of garbage being preached. And now it's being preached. Why are people listening to it? Because you and I, many times in our lives, have not told others about Jesus. So they listen to those that will tell them about Jesus. And if they happen to tune in to the ones that's teaching them bad doctrine, they'll never know because one of us won't tell them the truth. I can't be everywhere. Pastor Ybarra can't be everywhere. It says, preach the word in and out of season. That means that you and I are to be ready to talk to someone about Jesus every second of the day. You want signs and wonders? You want a revival? You want to see this church grow? Then take the responsibility of your vision. Take the responsibility of every person you run into on the street saying, do you know Jesus? I know one pastor that I very much have to respect him, and that everyone he runs into that he doesn't know, before he's done, he asks them, do you know Jesus? Now, they may immediately walk away from him, but he asks them that question. But you don't have to beat them over the head. You don't have to scream at them. You can love them. You can take them a meal. You can mow their lawns for them and tell them, I'm doing this because I just want a chance to tell you that I love you because Jesus is my Savior. You just take the time and be a servant. But if you don't do it, it won't get done. No matter how many people I preach to or pastor preaches to, we're never going to reach the people you can reach. You know, I told this joke. I don't know if I told it here or where. But when Jesus went back and ascended to heaven, all the angels were just, they didn't understand salvation. They didn't know any of this. They all gathered around Jesus. And they were all looking at his hands, looking at the nail prints that were in his hands. Because we know they were there. His glorified body on earth had them. The angels were looking at the nail prints, and Michael the archangel, he's kind of like Peter, I guess. He spoke up and said, well, Jesus, now that you've come back, what's going to happen? And Jesus said, oh, that's okay. I've got it planned. I've got a good little group of men down there. And they worked with me for 3 years, and they followed me. And they know about me. And I'm going to send the Spirit down and empower them, and they're going to do signs and wonders. And they'll tell a few more, and they'll tell a few more, and they'll tell a few more, until the whole world knows about me. Michael kind of scratched his head and looked at Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, what's plan B? 2,000 years later, maybe Michael was right and we needed a plan B. Because this planet, I think the last census was over 6.5 billion people. And out of that 6.5 billion people, the average is 40% Christianity. See, if we had all gotten off our posteriors 2,000 years ago and spread the gospel, look at how small an area you would have had to preach to and Jesus would have come back. But because that didn't happen, we're here now. And now we have a chance. But it won't happen without you. You're more important to this body of Christ than I am. Because you can reach so many more people than I can. You can reach so many more people for Jesus just by telling them what he's done in your life. Just by being different. Paul said, we are a peculiar people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. But if you're not any different when you walk out this door and the world can't tell that you love Jesus, then you're worthless to Jesus as far as a witness. And you won't see a revival. But if you want one, just start telling people about him. Even if they don't come to church, it doesn't matter. You've told them about your Savior and your love, Jesus. And I guarantee your reward in heaven will be great. Amen. Your reward in heaven will be very great. But if you don't, and I'm not going to say that it's the fact, But words of Jesus were, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. And think about it, I can't answer that question for you, but I'm going to tell you a fact. This homeboy right here, at one time in his life, was known to deny Jesus before guys. I didn't speak up. So I got a lot of time to make up for. And I'll preach it to anybody, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, because I don't like the thought that there might just be this little bitty, wee, wee, wee chance that Jesus is going to say, hey, Jay, remember that time when I sent you Bob and you denied me? I know it's covered by the blood, but it always worries me. It's not a pleasant thought. Jesus loved you enough to die on the cross. Do you love Jesus enough to say Jesus to someone else? If you don't wear his name, because you're an insult to him. I know that's harsh, but if you're calling yourself a Christian and you're so ashamed of Jesus that you won't tell somebody else you're a Christian because his love for you, because he saved you, don't wear his name. Don't wear his name. That just bugs me so much. It hurts my heart so much when somebody comes up to me and talks to me about how much they love Jesus, how great a Christian they are, how they do this Bible study, how they've done that Bible study, how they listen to TBN, how they have all these tapes from their radio ministries. And then you ask them what their life entails, and you find out they're no different than the guys that are out on the outside. They're filling themselves, but nothing's coming out. And it's a requirement. Something has to come out. You know, Mary and I love you guys more than you'll ever know. And a lot of the messages I have to preach around are hard. Some of them are very hard for me. But the bottom line is, you've got to get out there and start talking about Jesus to everyone. The time is short. Now that Iraq is stabilized, the prophecy of Babylon being rebuilt and being profitable and prosperous can occur. All these prophecies are starting to come together like they've never come together before. I mean, it's like we're watching it in fast forward. Yeah, you know what I mean? Put the VCR on fast forward. It's kind of fuzzy, but you can see it go by. That's what's happening. Start reading your paper. Start looking at every single thing. Start studying this word in depth, and you're going to get scared. We're coming to an end, people. And I don't know whether that end's going to be in this boy's life or in our young'uns in their life. But we are coming to an end. And we are coming to a point of accountability. And there is no place in this Bible where Jesus says, believe on me, you are saved, and do nothing else the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever believeth on me shall be saved. Whoever does not believe on me is already condemned. We quote that. And then we forget the rest. That will not get you to heaven. If you're doing absolutely nothing in your life, but sitting around saying, I believe on Jesus, I believe on Jesus, I believe on Jesus. And Jesus keeps bringing you people to talk to him, and you don't. I wouldn't want to be you. Now, I'm not going to make the judgment call, because I'm not God. But this Bible tells me it's Acts. Acts. It was called the book of Acts. They could have called it anything else. They could have called it the book of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They could have called it the book of the preach. They could have called it the book of history. But God wanted it called by what it was supposed to be, the book of Acts. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preaching and teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, you pastors, go into all the world. You missionaries, go into all the world. You that are called, go into all the world. He said, go ye into all the world. That's you. That's me. That's everyone that wears his name. Go into the world and tell them about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You want to see a revival in this church? You want to see more people in here than we know how to handle? And all the problems that go with revival? start telling people about Jesus. You know, we're hoping, the pastor, myself, and our Spanish pastor, are hoping to have In the Park Ministries this summer. We're preaching and teaching and songs and worshiping a Jesus. You want those to be a success? Start telling everybody. When we get close, start telling everybody, come on over to the park. We're going to have a good time. Come on over to the park and join us. Come on over to the park and hear what can save you. Come on over to the park and hear what makes me happy. Come on over to the park. Be an active part. You know, there should not be anything in this church, and I mean it, there shouldn't be anything in this church, whether it's that bulletin board, whether it's the carpet being swept, whether it's talking about Jesus, that you're not an active part of. If you love Jesus, this is your home right now. This is where you come to be fed. This is where you come to support that man and that woman. This is what you should be part of. And as I said, you guys are what we consider statistically in the pastor world the core. Because you're here. You're here on Sunday night, so you're the core. And if you guys won't get out there and tell somebody about Jesus, then those people that were here this morning certainly won't. You're hungry enough and in love enough with your Savior that you're here. They're not. Now, yeah, there's family things. There are reasons some people can't be. But what I'm saying is, statistically, you guys are what we call the core and what has to be the working group underneath of the pastor supporting him. With that kind of love and support, it's amazing what could happen. It's amazing. Churches don't grow by themselves. Churches grow by enthusiasm. If you come into this church on Sunday morning and you're enthused by pastor's message or mine, or you come in here on Sunday morning and you get all enthused by Kathy's music, or you come in and you get enthused because we have such a good fellowship, and you leave, as soon as you leave those doors, you're going to be right back where you started. But if you come in here Sunday morning with one thing in mind, to worship Jesus and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and to be fed by a man of God, when you walk out that door, you'll be changed and you'll be going forward instead of standing still. But if you want this church to really grow and a revival to start, you got to start talking to people about Jesus. You got to tell them you love them. You got to tell them he's your Savior. You can't get away from it. That is the vision you should have. That is the vision every single Christian that comes to God has. It's given to you by God. It's in the Bible. Jesus never said the pastor has to preach. He said, leave the dead to bury themselves. Go and preach the word. Jesus knew what was important. Do we? Do you right now know what's important in your life?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast of Where the Rubber Meets the Road, brought to you by His Will Ministry, where we are dedicated to doing the works that Jesus did and even greater works. I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor at His Will Ministry. Please visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org or write to us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. I hope you were abundantly blessed by today's message, and I pray that you will put Jesus above all things in your life. May God bless you. Please feel free to share today's message with others.